Good morning and welcome. If you would like a Bible, and it will be very, very helpful if you have a Bible, please put your hand in the air. One of the welcome guys would be very happy to come and give you a Bible. If you have one, please turn with me to Psalm 148, which is on page 632. That's Psalm 148. To help you as we run through, I want to encourage you to listen out or to count one thing and listen out for another thing. So, what I want you to do is count the amount of times the word praise is said. Simple. Hopefully, if you are expecting to count it on your fingers, you might run out. So you might want to take your shoes off now, if that is how you count. The other thing that I want you to look out for, if you can, is the echoes of Genesis 1 that appears in Psalm 148. So counting the number of praises and listening out for the echoes of Genesis 1 as we look through. Have we all found Psalm 148 on page 632? Let's read. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. It is a delight to have the Treasure Hunter guys in, Treasure Hunter Max guys in with us. I've added in some actions. So this is not an all-age service, but I have added in some actions to help them and hopefully all of us to focus and to remember. And I know in this country we're very reserved and we're not big fans of actions and things like that, but it would be really good. It would be delightful if you could join in with us to encourage them and help each other to keep focused on God, to listen and help us to remember what Psalm 148 is. So I know you might feel silly, but I would encourage you to fight through that silliness for the love of your brothers and sisters and the kids that are here with us to help them remember. Anyway, that's up to you. I can't force you. Let's start by praying. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a gracious God. We thank You for all You have done for us, for the fact You have made us, and that You have raised up for us a strong helper who helps us. Please help us now to listen to Your voice and change our hearts to be more like Your Son, all for Your glory. Amen. Have you ever felt a bit lost with life? Maybe you feel like you don't really belong. Have you ever felt like that? Feel like you're not part of anything special? Maybe at times you may have felt a bit useless. Maybe I'm too small. So if you're one of the kids, I'm too small. Or maybe you're one of the older folks. I'm too old to do anything useful. A bit lost or lonely, possibly with no real purpose in life. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe at home, on your own, maybe your kids have run you ragged, and you're at the end of your tether, and there's tears in your eyes, and you're like, I don't know what to do. What am I to do? Maybe you think of your life, and you think it's defined by your mistakes, or what you can't do, rather than what you can do. Maybe something has happened, and it's really hit your confidence. A teacher or a friend has squashed you down. You feel small, and you wonder, what is the point of life? What is the point of my life? Well, Psalm 148 has something really important to say to you. What Psalm 148 tells us is that there is access to the greatest choir, and that is open to all of you. God has made it possible for you to join in with the whole of creation in doing what you were created to do. And what were you created to do? Is to praise the Lord. God has made it possible to give you real purpose in life, no matter how small, big, round, or thin you might be. And that purpose is to praise the Lord. And if you do that, you are never, ever alone. And my prayer is that as we leave this morning, you will join this universal choir and praise the Lord because of what Jesus has done. And we're going to do this by looking at 3 points, which makes up a big sentence. Here it is. Praise the Lord, everything, for he made us and he gives us a strong helper. That's simple, isn't it? That is simple. Praise the Lord, everything, for he made us and he gives us a strong helper. So the big command of the passage, praise the Lord, everything. How many times did the word praise appear in our passage? Anyone going to have a 12. Anyone have a different number? I had a different number. 13. I had 13. Did you have a different number? You had 14. Wow, that's good. No, I had 13, so I may have missed one somewhere. 13 times in 14 verses, we are commanded, not recommended, but we are commanded to praise him. And just if you were in doubt who to praise, it's right at the beginning and at the end of our psalm. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Verse 14, praise the Lord. Now a lot of the kids, and actually a lot of you adults know, I love me some actions. So when I say praise the Lord everything, you need to point up, you can use one hand or two, point up and say, point to God, you and me. Does that make sense? So whenever I say, so I may say praise the Lord a lot, but it has to be praise the Lord everything. Does that make sense? So when I say praise the Lord everything, you need to point up and say, point to God, you and me. Should we have a practice? Should we have a practice? You sound eager. It's early, isn't it? It is early. Praise the Lord, everything. God. Point to God, you and me. About 6 months ago, it was quite funny, my Daniel came up to me like this. He was saying, "Wook." He doesn't pronounce his L's very well. "Wook, Daddy, Wook." And I was really confused. And I was like, what's he pointing at? What's he pointing at? Is there a spider behind me? Have I got something on my face? No, it turns out Daniel has learned how to pick his nose. And he was showing me the bogey that was on the end of his finger. "Wook, Daddy, he's very good at sharing." Now, I really want to encourage you to point to God. So when I say, praise the Lord, everything. Oh, guys, come on. It's upsetting. Praise the Lord, everything. Praise the Lord. Yes, someone over there. Was that you, Colin? No. It's really evident in the passage, isn't it? Everything is to praise the Lord. Big things, small things, earthly things, heavenly things, stars and seas, everything. But not just each individual category, but all things within that category. Look at all the alls that appear. Verse 2, all the heavenly hosts. Verse 3, all you shining stars. Verse 9, all hills, all cedars. Verse 10, all cattle. Verse 11, all nations. What are they all to do? Are you ready? Praise the Lord, everything. Now, I love a good question. I love good actions. I love good questions. And this is my good question. How can these things, which are in this psalm, actually praise God? Most of them don't actually have mouths. Did you notice that? Seas, that doesn't really have a mouth. Stars, that doesn't have a mouth. And those things that do actually have mouths, most of them don't really make many real audible sounds, maybe like cattle, moo. Along with the angels and the heavenly host. Surely praising the Lord is the singing we do on a Sunday or maybe on a Tuesday when we sing a song. Have you ever tried yelling at a squirrel to praise God like this psalm might suggest? Praise God, you squirrel, or a tree, or the ocean. If someone saw you doing that, they'd think you were nuts. If you were commanding trees and squirrels and oceans to praise the Lord. But we would never expect that, would we? We would never expect those things to be singing songs literally. So how do the stars praise God? How do the oceans praise the Lord? Well, simply, they point us to God. We often think to praise God is just the singing we do on a Sunday morning, but praising God is a much bigger category. It includes singing on a Sunday morning, but it's actually much bigger than that. Praising God is whenever we put Him on display. It's whenever we point each other to Him. It's whenever we point to Him. That's what it is to praise God, whether that's in word or thought or action. When we are putting God on display, we are pointing towards God. Now, I know your parents have all told you that it's rude to point. Have you heard that? It is very rude to point. You shouldn't point at people. But actually, this psalm is telling us we should constantly be pointing to God. So when you see a lion, you should be seeing it as it points to the Lion of Judah, our great king. When you see how big and awesome the universe is, it is pointing us to a great and awesome and glorious God who created it all. When you see the seas, it points us to how big God is, that He holds the seas in its hands. It shows us something about God. And we use this pointing idea in real life, maybe by the specific design of a shirt that you wear. We are wanting people to point to us. Look at that guy. He's got good fashion sense. It won't surprise you, I never get that comment. But maybe you do. Maybe you pick your clothes so that people would not physically point at you, but they would look and they would think, oh, look at that guy. He looks awesome. Maybe we do it through Facebook or Instagram. Aren't we constantly pointing people to things? Maybe it's just in conversation. Did you see that goal last night? We are pointing people to things. And in this psalm, it tells us we should be pointing to God. Our thoughts, our words, our actions should all be about putting God on display, about showing people God. But the thing is, if we're honest, we don't very often do that, do we? Who do we actually point people to? So say, for example, I spoke about me lots. Who would I be pointing people to? Me. If I only did things that made people look happily at me, who would I be pointing people to? Me. So maybe I do only do certain acts when someone is watching. Adults, have you ever been at work and playing on the internet and your boss walks around the corner and you're like, quick, back to that spreadsheet that I'm meant to be working on? Or maybe you have, or maybe kids, you say one thing to a friend, and then when you're with a different group of friends, you say something else because you know what those two different groups of people like. You know what what will make those two different people look at you fondly. Maybe you're one person at church and another person at home to avoid some people's disapproving looks. What you are doing is saying, well, you guys praise me. You guys point to me. You guys look to me. And this is very much me. This is me most of the time. I very rarely praise the Lord everything. I thought I would lull you. Praise the Lord everything. Brilliant. If I'm honest with you, the psalm that I sing is praise Glenn McClellan. Praise Glenn McClellan from the heavens. Praise Glenn McClellan from the heights above. Praise Glenn McClellan from the earth. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were like me also. The song of your life is more about you than it is about God. And the Bible tells us that this is a massive problem for all of us. It's why the world is in such a mess, because we are all singing our own songs, all trying to make ourselves famous. We make things messy by the praise that we give, and we are all praising something every second of the day. The question is just who or what, and it's very rarely the Lord. Only when our hearts truly praise the Lord will we be able to have unity within the world. This church is only truly united when we stop singing the praise song about me or us and we start pointing people to God. But the thing is, we all naturally don't want to point to God. We all naturally want to point to ourselves, all of us. Well, sort of all of us. There was this one man whose whole life perfectly reflected this psalm. There was this one man who could sing this song perfectly at every single stage of his life. And that man was Jesus. You see, we all fail because we all sing the praise, well, you don't sing the praise Glenn McClellan song, but you put your name in there, the praise me song. But Jesus never did. Jesus was always about praising God. He was always pointing people to God. And it wasn't just his life. Even in death, he was pointing people to God. This is what Jesus says in John 17:1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Why? So that he may glorify you. So that he may put you on display. Even in Jesus' death, it was all about pointing people to God. Jesus, in complete unison with the whole world, as he lived, as he died, he perfectly put God on display. And here's our example of how we should be singing this psalm, because we fail to sing this psalm in our lives. So that's my first point. Are you ready? Are you, can I wake you up a bit? Ready for your actions? You got your fingers ready? Wook, daddy. Ah, nice. Praise the Lord, everything. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay. Point to God, you and me. You got that? So praise the Lord, everything. Excellent. The second point, for he made us. Now, when I say for he made us, I just want you to go, like you just go, ta-da! Do you think you can do that? Ta-da! Like you've just made a rabbit pop out of a hat, out of nothing, a magic hat, which we obviously don't believe in. So let's have a bit of a practice for that. Are you ready? So when I say for he made us, ta-da! Praise the Lord, everything. For he made us. Excellent. The why is really important when it comes to praising someone, isn't it? You can't just say to someone, praise Glenn. You can't just say someone something like that to, because they'll automatically respond, why? Why would I praise him? You need a reason. You need to understand a reason why we should praise someone. Reasons for praise are really important. Praise comes out of an understanding, true praise comes out of an understanding of what someone has done. And you might have noticed our psalm sits in two chunks. Praises from the heavens, verses 1 to 6. Then praises from the earth, verses 7 to 14. And both chunks are fairly similar. Commands to praise to lots of different things. And then finishing with each chunk with a let them, followed by a for. You see that in verses 5 and verse 13. Given the reasons at the end of each section why the Lord should be praised. And even though actually, as you look through it, you might spot that there are five reasons given, I'm only going to focus on two of them. And the first one, you ready? First one is, for he made us. Ta-da! Excellent, excellent. You see it in verse 5. For he commanded, and they were created. God making us is a massive reason to point to him. We know what it's like to praise one another because we've done something awesome. Look at that piece of art. Look at that goal. How did you do that? That's amazing. And here's a good question for you. Guess, I made this yesterday. Do you see this? Do you see what this is? This is what's called a tea towel chicken. Do you see the tea towel chicken? Okay. Do you know how much praise I got for this? None. Why? Because it's rubbish. It is absolutely rubbish. No one should be praising me for that. But when someone does something amazing, it deserves an amazing amount of praise. And what we see in this psalm, as I asked you to look out for as we read, is that this psalm echoes Genesis 1 and 2. Did you spot that? The heavens and the earth, the sea creatures and the flying birds. Someone said where Genesis 1 and 2 are how God made the earth, Psalm 148 is the song they were made to sing. God made everything. The masses of the universe with its billions and billions of stars, he spoke into existence. The oceans and all the crazy-looking animals that you find within them. Our brains, and equally all the crazy things that you find within them, even down to DNA and the proteins that kick around in our cells. But not just the complexity and vastness of creation, that is awesome enough that it deserves praise, but the fact God made it out of nothing. We make things all the time, but never out of nothing. I made my chicken out of a tea towel. Did not make my chicken out of nothing. Now, I want to have a quick building competition. So can I borrow Noah and Lydia? This is my building competition. Let me move this here. I have a simple task for you. It's going to be a race. I have sweets on offer for the winner. There you go. You get to pick. You get to pick your sweets. Here's some cups. All I want you to do, Lydia, do you want to come over here? All I want you to do is build a triangle tower. Does that make sense? Yeah, you're there. Sorry, you're there. I just want you to build a triangle tower. I've given you cups. You got cups. So four on the bottom, then three, then two, then one. The winner gets a sweet. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? You get that? You ready? You steady? Go. Yay! Do you want to pick a sweet? Go on, let me dismantle this for you. Okay, now you stay up here, Lydia. I've got the same task for you again. But this time, this is what I want you to do, Noah. Right, you need to build it out of nothing. Ready? Obviously, the winner gets a sweet. Winner gets a sweet. Ready, steady, go. Come on. Come on. You were telling me earlier you were good at making stuff. Come on. It's impossible. Have you lost a cup? Here we go. Yay. Excellent. You can both have a sweet. Do you want to grab some sweets? Go on, grab some sweets. You can both have a sweet. Have another one. because you thrashed Noah. He was not very good. You see, it is impossible to make something out of nothing. Whereas God made the complexities of this universe, the vastness out of this universe, out of nothing. That really is amazing and worthy of praise. But that has a massive implication if he made you, because this psalm becomes like an instruction sheet that you get within a cream or medication. So I've got some stuff here. So Bongella, has anyone got Bongella or ibuprofen or indigestion tablets? You can't guess whose those are. Indigestion. In here, you get an instruction sheet, don't you? You get an instruction sheet. And this instruction sheet is a message from the manufacturer to you, telling you how to use the product, isn't it? This is the creator of the product telling you this is what you were designed for. This is the purpose of you. So you would never think of using the indigestion tablets, would not have an instruction on them saying, use this to get rid of a headache. Bongella wouldn't be used to say, use this to get rid of indigestion, because these instructions tell us from the manufacturer, from the creator, the purpose of these products. Psalm 148 even, is the sheet, is the instructions to tell us what the purpose of us is. It's to tell us why we have been created. And you get these in most things. And it would make sense if we were created that God would provide us with something also. Our manufacturer, our creator, has given us instructions so that we would know what we are to do to praise our maker for making us. You ever wondered why we are here? Answer is to praise the Lord. Our maker says we are made to praise him, and we should see the fact he has made us and praise him for that also. So that's our first 2 points. Are you ready with your actions? Praise the Lord, everything. For he made us. And thirdly, and he gives us a strong helper. So the last action is, and I won't do this very much. So when I say, and he gives us a strong helper, I want you to go, huh? 999, help me! Does that make sense? That should be an easy one to do. Yeah, Nathan's not going to get this. He doesn't know his numbers. Are you ready? And he gives us a strong helper. Huh? 999, help me. Sorry, Americans in here. You guys are like, 999? What's that number? It's 911. What are you doing? So he gives us a strong helper. He gives them a great, powerful, awesome helper. Why? To help us to do what this psalm is calling us to do, to praise him. You see, we find it hard to praise God sometimes. In fact, naturally, we don't want to praise God. In fact, it is impossible for us to do it on our own. But our King, this strong helper, has been given to us to help us praise the Lord. How does he do that? Well, for us to truly praise God, we need to be close to him. Did you see that in verse 14? Verse 14 talks about a great horn that has been, he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. He has raised up for his people a horn. What a strange thing to say. If someone came up to me and said, I've got a horn, I'd be like, nice. Good for you. Very well done. But it's similar to saying something like he has raised up a tank, or a Black Hawk helicopter, or the greatest fighting thing that you can have. A horn was a sign of strength. If you saw an animal with a horn, you'd stay away from it because that horn could do you some damage. Having a horned animal on your side meant that you had something strong to help you. You never want to be pierced by a rhino, do you? You really, some of you might, but I most certainly do not want to be pierced by a rhino. A horn was a sign of strength. And this tells us that he has raised up a strong helper to help us to praise him. Earlier we saw this psalm had echoes of Genesis 1. But the thing is, between Genesis 1 and Psalm 148, you get Genesis 3. And Genesis 3 is a story about how humanity has turned its back on God. How humanity has said, God, I don't want to sing your song. I want to sing my own song. I want to praise me rather than you. And when we do that, that is called sin. And that is vile blasphemy. And that causes a big problem. It means we belong far away from God. And the rest of the Old Testament is a story about a big distance problem. In Genesis 3, we are cast out of the garden. We are cast far away from God. And as we sin, as we sing this song about ourselves rather than God, it means we deserve to be a long way away from God. We get that idea, don't we? So if a child at school is sent out of the classroom, that's not a good thing. They've done something naughty. If a family member is kicked out of a household, that's generally not a good sign, is it? They have done something against the family. And that is what the Bible says has happened to us. Because we sin, because we sing our own song, we belong far away from God. And this is the first thing that this strong helper does for us. This strong helper brings us close to God. Did you see that in verse 14? That this strong helper is for a people close to God's heart. When we are far from God, it is impossible for us to truly praise him with our hearts because our hearts don't want to. So first of all, we need this horn, this strong one, to bring us close to God. So who is this horn? Who is this strong helper? Well, many of us will know who this strong helper is that this psalm points us to. It points us to our Lord Jesus, doesn't it? The one who truly sung this psalm perfectly. The man who died on the cross to deal with our big distance problem and bring us close to God's heart. When he did that, he took the punishment we deserve. He took the reason that we are far from God on himself so that we could come close to God. Isn't it glorious? The man who was pierced through the side, pierced into his heart, did that so that those who were far away could be brought close to God the Father's heart. Please don't leave this morning thinking you can praise God out of your own power. You need this great, strong helper to help you to do what this psalm is calling us to do. Without Jesus first dealing with your big distance problem, you will never be able to praise God rightly. And if that is you, if you feel far from God, please come to speak to one of us, me, Nathan, Rachel, one of the elders, maybe the Christian who's brought you. We'd love to point you to Jesus and to explain to you how he can bring you close to God's heart. God shows true love. And that deserves true praise, for he helps us. Maybe you know John 3:16. Know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that he sent his great horn, Jesus, to die so that whoever might believe in him will not perish, will not spend all eternity far away, but will have eternal life, will be brought close to the Creator's heart. But that's not just it. He doesn't just start you on that path, but he helps you to continue to praise God also. Sometimes as Christians, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes our hearts feel heavy. I don't know if you do. I do. Sometimes we're sad. We're struggling. There's so much going on that we lose focus of what we should be doing. There are so many voices shouting for our attention that we get distracted and we struggle. Well, God gives you a strong helper so that you would continue with him. At the end of Jude, we get the doxology. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without fault or defect. This glorious horn is able to keep you and help you. So if you are struggling, if you are a believer and you are struggling to truly praise God, come to the great horn who is your strong helper to help you to praise him. Isn't that glorious? So in summary, you got all three bits? You ready? So we got point to God, you and me, ta-da, and 999, help me. You got that? You ready? You ready? Wake some of you up. So praise the Lord, everything. Point to God, you and me, for he made us, ta-da, and he gives us a strong helper. 999, help me. Let me land where I started. Maybe you feel a bit lost with life. You feel a bit lonely. Maybe you're struggling. Or maybe you feel small and rubbish and useless. And you wonder, can I be of any use to anything or anyone? What's the point of life? Well, God's great horn has made it possible for you to join the largest choir in all existence. Has made it possible for you to join in with creation to do what you were made to do, and that is to praise his glorious name, to praise the Lord. So let's do that with our final song.